بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this gathering. And I would like to say my thanks to the NUS Muslim Society for this kind invitation to speak about an important topic within our Islamic tradition, which serves as the root of our religion. That is matters that are related to Islamic theology and beliefs. And this is a noble knowledge where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets and messengers from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to preach aqidah, to preach any tawheed, to inform communities about who is their creator, the one who created the heavens and the earth. What are his characteristics? What are his attributes? Prophets after prophets, Allah sent to communities to remind any human beings about their obligations towards their creator, that they are created for a purpose. And that purpose is to worship the one who brought them into existence. So this knowledge has been passed down since the creation of men, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam and the prophets after prophets, as mentioned in the Quran, and all the way to history to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought this deen, this religion, to the people of his time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message, and the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they continued that message, and comes generations after them until we are today. So this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah make us Muslims, that Allah bless us with iman. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid din. Those whom God want goodness for them, God will give him the understanding of his religion. And God will give him tawfiq and hidayah. And bless him with his guidance, that he is able to understand the Creator, the one who brought him into existence. He to understand his responsibility as a human being, to understand the importance of the messages of the prophets that came before him. So this is one of the biggest bounties that Allah can bless a person by blessing him with iman and Islam. That is why the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they entered into the fold of Islam, they say alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil islam wa kafa biha ni'mah. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of Islam, and this is the best of blessing that has made us sufficient in its essence of blessing that comes from Allah. So we take this opportunity to make shukr to Allah and to offer our thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the guidance that Allah has blessed us with. And we are in a blessed day. Yesterday we were in Nisfu Sha'ban, on the 15th of Sha'ban. We just entered into the 16th of Sha'ban, and we are on the way to Ramadan. So we are in a blessed time where our prayers is answered by Allah. This is the time where our scholars mentioned it is important for us to supplicate and ask Allah for forgiveness, and ask Allah for every of our needs in dunya and akhirah. And we are at the doorstep of Ramadan. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with goodness in Sha'ban, and make us enter into the month of Ramadan. And I am pleased to be here and to come back to NUS. I was here I think 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Alhamdulillah, it is a pleasure to be back and to meet all of you. And in reality, this kind of gathering makes me happy to see young people having this motivation and this curiosity to study about the religion. And these are the things that I look forward to to engage, and also to hear from the questions that you are posting and so on and so forth. So the topic of today is on Islamic theology. What is Islamic theology? And the names in our Islamic tradition, there are a few names with regard to Islamic theology. The famous one, yani, is the name of Al-Aqidah. Al-Aqidah Al-Islamiyah. The meaning, yani, of Al-Aqidah, yani, is basically, yani, it refers, yani, to the faith. And then we also have a term, yani, that is called Al-Kalam, Ilmul Kalam. Ilmul Kalam, yani, is one, yani, of the names, yani, of this knowledge, which is knowledge, yani, of Islamic, yani, theology. And the reason why it is called, yani, Al-Kalam, because last time, yani, there was a big debate pertaining to the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a creation or not a creation? The debates, yani, between the Mu'tazila and the Ahlu Sunnah. This happened, yani, in the past. So as the generations, yani, goes by, this name, yani, was tied, yani, to it. But at the end, yani, of the day, names, yani, are not important. At the end of the day, names, yani, of a particular knowledge is not any important. What is more, yani, important, yani, is the content, yani, of that knowledge. What is this knowledge is all about? So some people, they name this knowledge as the knowledge of Aqidah. Some people, yani, viewed, yani, this is the knowledge, yani, of Al-Kalam. Some people, yani, mentioned this is Usuluddin, yani, the foundations, yani, of this religion. And some people, they use, yani, the word, yani, Tawheed. So we have basically, yani, these four names. Sometimes it is called Aqidah, Kalam, Usuluddin, Tawheed. But in reality, the meaning, yani, is... The meaning, any, is the same. The meaning is the same. The difference, any, is in the difference, any, is in the name. So what is important, any, for us is to study and to understand what is this knowledge is all about. So what I did was I made, any, a few slides, and I brought forth in some definitions, any, of this knowledge. And it is important, any, as I think I mentioned, any, many a times, that for those, any, who are attending, any, our classes as Mr. Khaled, it is very important, yani, to understand definition, to memorize any definition. Because by understanding any definition, you will prevent any yourself, any, from making mistakes and in thinking. Because sometimes, any, we might perceive a particular knowledge is Aqidah, but it is not any Aqidah. A lot of your people, for example, they got mixed up, any, between spirituality and theology. So they go into spirituality and they thought any spirituality and it is theology, but actually it is not any theology. Spirituality, yani, is a branch, yani, of theology. Tamam? Whereas any theology, yani, it is the roots of Islam. That is why some ulama, yani, mentioned Usuluddin. So before, yani, we go on, yani, to the definition, maybe, yani, I will start, yani, to speak, yani, about the significance, yani, of this knowledge before, yani, we go to the definitions. What is any meaning, yani, of significance? Meaning, if you look, yani, at the religion, yani, of Islam, if you look at the religion, yani, of Islam, the religion, any, of Islam, any, has foundations. It is like any a tree. So you find, for example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about kalima tayyiba, yani the kalima, any, of faith, he said, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا, he mentioned, any, in the Quran, kalimatan tayyibatan asluha sabitun wa far'uha fis sama. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave, any, this example, any, in the Quran, that the parable, any, of kalima tayyiba, which is the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, this is, any, the parable, any, of a tree. It is a parable, any, of a kashajaratin asluha sabitun wa farruha fis sama. Kashajaratin tayyibatin asluha sabitun wa farruha fis sama. It is like a parable, any, of a tree where the roots, any, are firm, any, in the ground. So imagine, any, you have, any, a tree where the roots, any, are firm. So normally when trees, any, they are tall trees. When trees, any, are tall, any, the roots, any, will also, any, be in depth, any, in the earth to sustain, any, the tree from falling. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and he speaks, any, about this religion, he gave, any, the parable, any, of a tree, which is easy, any, for us, any, to imagine. So the roots, any, are firm, any, in the ground, wa farwa fisama, asluha sabitun wa far'uha fisama, and the branches, any, goes all the way up, any, towards, any, the sky. So the parable, any, of the knowledge, any, of Aqidah, this knowledge, any, of theology, is like the roots, any, of a tree. It's like, any, the roots of a tree, the foundation, any, of this religion, where this religion, any, is built, any, upon. So we can say this knowledge, it is like, any, the foundation, any, of Islam, and the rest is either we say part, any, of the branches and part, any, of the fruits, any, of this, the fruits, any, of this tree. So from this example, we will be able any to understand the importance any of this knowledge. If this knowledge any is the foundation any of Islam, the foundation any of religion, meaning if the foundations any is weak, everything any will become weak. If the foundations any is weak, everything any will collapse. So this is any the importance of the knowledge any of al-aqidah, or the knowledge any of kalam or usuluddin or ilmu tawheed. And it is the first obligation, as what any we study, for example, in books any of aqidah, in books any of tawheed, the first any obligation that is compulsory upon every Muslim to study is to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As what any Sheikh any Dardir, Sheikh Ahmad Dardir any Sarida Bahiyah, he mentioned any in the Quran that the first any obligation is ma'rifatullah, is to understand who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why any the first any obligation any is to understand any Allah, because this is the foundation any of this, the foundation any of this deen, that Allah any will not accept ibadah if the belief any is corrupt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not any accept acts any of worship if the belief any is something any that is corrupt. So for example, any if a person he does not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he performs in his prayers any will not be valid. His recitation any of the Quran any will not be given any rewards. Why? Because any of the faith any is not accepted any by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is any an example any when we say that if the roots any is corrupt, whatever any the branches any that comes will also any be corrupt. So the knowledge any of theology, Islamic any theology, is the parable any of the roots or the foundations any of a tree. The branches any is a parable of jurisprudence. We study any, for example, the do's and the don'ts. It is compulsory for us any to perform the five time daily prayers. It is compulsory upon us any to fast any in the month of Ramadan. It is compulsory upon us any to pay the zakah, to perform any the hajj. These are the branches any of that, the branches any of that goods. That first any we have any to make our foundations of belief and faith firm, then only any we go any to the branches any of Islam in obeying and fulfilling the commandments any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have any the fruits any of this religion. You have any the goods which is theology, you have any the branches any which is jurisprudence, and the fruits any of this tree any of Islam is spirituality. And all these things any is based any on the hadith any of Jibril alayhi salam. Everything any that we mentioned from the beginning, yani is a summary of the hadith where our Prophet sallallahu alayhi was where our scholars any mentioned is the hadith of Ummu Sunnah, the mother any of Sunnah. That is the hadith any that is known as the hadith any of Jibril alayhi salam. Any Gabriel alayhi salam came any to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him any of you question. I think a lot of you maybe you have come across in this particular hadith. So he asked any the question any firstly any on Islam, what is Islam? Then he asked any about Iman. Then he asked any about Al-Ihsan. So our ulama any mentioned Al-Islam is the parable any of jurisprudence. Al-Iman is the parable any of Aqidah, yani belief in theology. Al-Ihsan any is the parable any of spirituality. So as a Muslim, it is important, point number one, when we seek knowledge, we have to focus and give any priority to the knowledge any of Aqidah, because this is any the foundation. Just like, for example, if you are building any a house, you have to start any from the foundation. What happens any if a person any builds any a house and he build any the roof first? It's not correct. Why any you building any the roof where you do not even have any the foundation, nor any do you have any the structure any of the building? So we will build any the foundation, and then the foundation also must be something that is firm, sabit. Allah said any asluha sabitun. The Quran speaks any about firmness, that we have any to maintain firmness any in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important, because firmness any in belief is the key to success, because life any in this world any is full any of tests. How are we able to overcome any tests and trials any that comes any from Allah? By having any firmness any in iman, by having any firmness in understanding of iman, and to have any iman. So if a person any wants any to build any house, any for example, and he says that I want to build a 20-story building, then the piling any also has to be equivalent to the number any of stories any that he is making. Imagine if a person any wants to make a 20-story building, but the piling any is only one story. What happens? Very dangerous. The building any will collapse. So today, with all the challenges any that we have as a Muslim, When we step out any from our house, or even any within any our house, with the social media any that we are exposed to, with the things any that we are seeing in the media, and the things any that we are hearing, whether we are in school or outside any of school, whether we are in the society, whether in our house, wherever any we are surrounded any by a lot any of ideas. We are surrounded any by a lot any of theological any questions. We are surrounded any by a lot any of thoughts that surrounds any this aspect any of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so many of the thoughts any that are something that is contrary any to the things any that we believe. It contradicts to the basic any principles any of faith. So what any should we do in order any for us any to equip any of self and to protect any of self any from such any situations? We have any to pay attention any firstly to attain the firmness in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when we speak any about learning any this knowledge. Not only any we are speaking any about learning the basics. No, today it is not enough for you as a Muslim to learn the basics any of iman. It's not enough. If you think any memorizing the six pillars any of iman, to believe in Allah, to believe in the prophets, to believe in the angels, if you think any it is enough any for you any to protect any your faith any from all the challenges any of life any that you are facing, you are making any a big mistake, and that is dangerous. But it goes any more than that. Because since any we are facing many challenges, we are facing any many ideas, we are facing any many ideologies any out there, whether it is within any Islam, out any of Islam, all these situations any that we are facing, all these things tells us any the importance any of us any to have firmness any in this knowledge. So today we are not only saying any the importance of learning any this knowledge, but we are also speaking any about the importance any of learning it in depth, in a way that we are able any to equip any ourselves as a form any of protection from the ideologies that surround us any in today's time. And today many any of our scholars, they mention any that the time any that we are living, the need any for this knowledge is far much greater than the times any before. And this can be understood. If you are living any in the times of Imam Razali, situation any is very different. If you live any in the time of Imam Shafi'i, 1,200 years ago, situation is very different. If you are a person who live in Baghdad during the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, you are protected any by the society. Because society are the society where people any believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people any encourage you any to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, they have challenges in the past. But today, the situation any that we are in is such that the world and now it becomes any like one city. The world any now is shrinking, in a sense that whatever is happening any in the far corners any of the world, it can come to you in a fast any time. That people can be influenced any on something that is happening in America. Maybe any within minutes, somebody any posted any in America any on something, people any in Singapore any can be influenced any by such any postings. Or a film any came out, video. And what you call Hollywood any came out any with some any videos any on certain any ideologies and certain things. We find any Muslims are easily any influenced any by the things any that they see any in the cinemas. Likewise any in the radios, likewise any in the television, and so on and so forth. So today it is important any for us any to pay attention about the importance any of attaining any this firmness of aqidah, of Islamic any theology, so that our foundations any affirm. When our foundations any affirm, that is equivalent to the challenges any that we have any today, then only we can focus any on the jurisprudence. So when you focus any on jurisprudence, we are like any a building that the foundation any strong. So now we are going any to build any our structure. This comes any there, the goal any of learning fiqh, the goal any of learning jurisprudence. But at the end any of the day, the goal any is to attain the fruits, and the fruits any is spirituality. How are we able any to attain the closeness any to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But you cannot attain spirituality if you do not have firmness any in aqidah. You cannot attain any spirituality if you do not have a strong jurisprudence. Yani, you do not have any strong any branches. You are unable any also any to attain spirituality. So the path any to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in summary, is to attain a strong foundation in this knowledge,
And likewise, any in the branches, any of this knowledge, so that any we attain any of the fruits, that is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going back any to the definition any of this knowledge, I mentioned here there are a few definitions. Okay. So this is the first any definition by Al-Imam Aduddin Al-Iji. And this is any mentioned in his book Al-Mawaqif. So he said, knowledge any of aqidah or knowledge any of kalam, he said, ilmun yuqtarahu ma'ahu ala isbati al-aqa'id diniyati bi'iradi al-hujaji wa daf'i shubah. So we have two aspects any of this definition. Number one, any is knowledge that established the tenets any of faith. The tenets any of faith. So as a Muslim, we say it is an obligation upon every Muslim to study the tenets any of faith. So there are certain things any in our tradition of Islamic and theology where it is fardu ain. We say it is compulsory upon every individual Muslim to study them. So for example, it is compulsory any upon us to study about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah yani has no beginning, that He has no ending, that He is not like His creations, that He is not in need any of others, and His existence yani is necessary. And He possesses, He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-willing. This is compulsory upon every Muslim yani to study, and to study each any of the definitions yani regarding the attributes any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, it is compulsory any upon us to study any about prophets. What are the attributes any of prophets and messengers? What are the necessary attributes? What are the impossible attributes? And what are the possible any attributes? And then it is also compulsory upon us any to study any about al-ghaybiyat or sam'iyat, the things any that comes any after death, to believe any in the unseen, to believe in angels, to believe any in the jinn, to believe any in the questions any of the grave, to believe any what happens in Yawm al-Qiyamah, to believe any in Sirat and Mizan. All these things, any we say, is fardu ain. These are the tenets in your faith. So this particular knowledge, not only it explains the tenets in your faith, but it brings any about evidences. This is what any Al-Imam Iji is saying. It brings any about evidences. So not only it is about believing any in the tenets in your faith, but also understanding the evidences any behind those beliefs. And evidences in Aqidah, we have two types of evidence. We have what is called as Dalil Aqli and Dalil Naqli. Dalil Aqli is rational evidences. Whereas Dalil Naqli, these are evidences any based on the sacred text, any from the Quran and the Sunnah. So this is the first part any of the definition. So the knowledge any of Aqidah is knowledge that establishes the tenets in your faith and is evidences both rationally and textually. And then he mentioned the second part any of the definition is وَدَفْعُ الشُّبَهُ وَدَفْعُ الشُّبَهُ. And if you have any of this word shubah in the Arabic language, it comes any from the word what you call it. Sometimes any it is mentioned any as shubuhat. These are, we say any, these are any the things or ideas, or we say ideologies any that are contradicting any to Islam. How are we able any to repel any such any ideas? How are we able to come forth in with evidences to rebut? To rebut any in a sense and to protect any our beliefs. Because any there are certain things, any for example, it can tarnish our faith any in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe any let me give you an example. There are people any out there, for example, they say they are Muslims. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they say that there is a prophet that came after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Clear? So this is shubha. Yani this is any something that is contrary to the Islamic faith. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's not anyone any of your fathers, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. That he is any the seal any of all any prophets. And there are also any hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, there is no Nabi, there is no Prophet any that is going any to come any after me. But of course, in over history, we find any there are individuals any who claim prophethood. For example, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there is this person by the name of Musaylama, known any as Musaylama al-Kadhab. And then came any others, until any recently, any the famous one any is Ghulam any Ahmad, any for example. A person who was in India, who claimed any prophethood, and he claimed that he is the Messiah, Isa alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. So our scholars, what they did was, they bring forth any evidences, any from the Quran, evidences, any from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to reject any disclaim, that disclaim any is not any within the Islamic any faith, that if a person any believes any in it, is not any considered any to be any a Muslim. So this is an example any of a certain idea that can creep to any within any the Islamic any faith. So the role any of the knowledge any of Aqidah is to deter, is any to rebut any false claims, any things that are contrary or contradicting the tenets any of faith. It is explained by the virtue any of this knowledge. So this is any basically the meaning any of this particular definition. The rest any of the definitions any that I mentioned here, it is about any the same any as what is mentioned by Al-Imam Al-Iji, but maybe we just run through any some of it. You will find any there is some consistency any in those any definitions. We have any the famous definition by Al-Imam Tabtazani. This is what any in our classes in Masjid Khalid always any I mention any this definition. And there is a reason, because the definition is a bit easier. This is a definition of Al-Imam Tabtazani, another scholar. He said, "Ilmun yuqtadaru bihi ala isbatil aqaidi diniyati muktasabatun min adillatiya yaqiniya." So there are also any the two aspects any within this definition. Number one, any is to again is to establish the tenets in your faith, and number two is to establish the evidences that are based on conviction. And this is another thing any about our Islamic any theology, that all any evidences are based on conviction. It is not based on speculation. Evidences any in Islamic any theology and it's not any based on speculation, but it is based on conviction. Conviction here meaning 100% conviction, not any 99.9%. So this is any the beauty any of our religion, that when comes any to Islamic any theology, that when comes any to the roots any of our religion, it must any be based on evidences that are based on conviction. So that is why we do not accept any, for example, hadith any da'if when comes any to aqaid. When comes any to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani to play safe, we do not any accept, for example, hadith any that is weak any in its narration. So there are certain any things any in Islam, only evidences that are based on conviction any is any accepted. And then Al-Imam Bayjuri explained. Al-Imam Bayjuri explained what is meant any by Al-Imam Tabtazani. He said, "Al-Quran wa Sunnah Sahiha." Yani the meaning any of evidences any that are based any on yaqeen, it is the dalil any from the Quran and Sunnah which are authentic. Li iqamatil hujaji wal barahin, to establish sound any proofs. Al aqliya wa naqliya, these are the types any of evidences, rational evidences, textual any evidences. Wa shubuhat wa raddi shubuhat, again Al-Imam Bayjuri now explains, and this goes back into the definition of Imam Iji earlier, that is any to repel the shubuhat, any ideas that are contradictory to the Islamic faith. Okay, next one. Ibn Khaldun and he mentioned something else. His definition and is quite long. Basically, it is the same. It is the same any as the definitions any that we mentioned any earlier. But he goes on further any to speak any about rebutting the innovators. Rebutting any the innovators, meaning if there is anyone any who makes any a false claim any again on Islam, and that is not any within the Islamic any tenets any of faith, or going against any Islamic any tenets any of faith, this particular knowledge will explain where does this thing any go wrong, what is any the truth, what is any the falsehood, and how any we can differentiate any from the truth and the falsehood. And all these things any he said is to preserve the manhaj any of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the theology that has been inherited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and Tabi Tabi'in until today. So today our scholars any they have any this responsibility to preserve the deen that was inherited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left us any for 1,400 years, but the religion that was brought by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the revelation that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the virtue of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and Tabi Tabi'in, and the scholars any who came any after them and wrote any in their books, and we inherited any those books and those teachings until today, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those teachings any are preserved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected any this religion. That is why any in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he takes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani he said, nahnu nazzalna alayka zikra, inna nahnu nazzalna alayka zikra, wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Verily we have sent down any to you this deen and this Quran, and we are the ones any who will preserve the religion. And this is any the beauty any of our religion, even though for many years any have passed, but the authenticity any of the words any of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings any of the Quran, and the Quran any itself has been preserved until today, that we are able any to get them.
Okay.
And then Al-Imam Razali also mentioned any about any the same definition. He speaks any about preservation. This knowledge takes any the responsibility of preservation, that to preserve the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah and to protect it. Wa hirasatiha an tashwihi ahli bid'ah. Again, and it's about the innovators, because in every time any there are people any who tries any to spark any some controversy or bringing any forth any certain things that are contradictory any to our religion. So it is the responsibility of the Muslims to study and to protect any themselves any from such ideas. So this is the definition any of this knowledge of Islamic any theology, and the reason why I mentioned any a few of these definitions, you will get any this consistent any meaning. This consistent meaning that is mentioned any by any our ulama. That is point number one. It is to study the tenets in your faith. Number two, it is to study the evidences behind any of those tenets in your faith. Number three, it is to use it any as a tool to rebut any false ideas. And again, any going back any to the time any that we are living, as what any I mentioned any earlier, we are living any in a very, very challenging time. As a Muslim, we are surrounded any by many ideas, many ideologies, many thoughts any that are surrounding any our minds. And this is any something that we find makes a lot any of Muslims any in confusion. Today, any for example, we are facing any ideologies not only within our Islamic faith, but we are also getting any influence any by ideologies any outside any of our faith. So the challenges any that we are facing, again any this goes back any to the importance any of learning this knowledge, and that this knowledge any as the foundation of our religion. So it is important for us to look any at our Islamic any education. Today, any for example, if we understand the importance any of this deen, the importance any of seeking knowledge, it is important any for us any to understand the priorities any in seeking knowledge, and to understand the syllabus. How are we able any to go through this? How any am I able any to build any knowledge? How am I able any to build any my foundation? What are the steps any that I need any to take? What are the books any that I need any to study? And how any do I study? And what are the fields any of knowledge any should I study? And what are the things any should I begin? So these are the things any that is important any for us to know before any we go in the path any of seeking any knowledge, to understand any the priorities on how we are able any to build our foundation and our branches, and so that any we are able any to attain any the fruits. So going back any to the knowledge any of aqidah, since any we understand that the knowledge any of aqidah is the foundation any of Islam, and it is crucial and important and wajib upon every Muslim to understand the tenets any of faith, and fardu kifaya to understand those evidences and to rebut ideas. Now it is important any for us to look any at ourselves and ask any ourselves, what is the level any of our understanding any in this any knowledge? And this question any is very important. You know, in the previous lecture when I came, we speak any about spirituality. Our talk any is more about spirituality. We spoke any about the different layers any of the nafs, and the stations any the degrees any of the nafs. How are we able any to go from Ammara to Lawama to wa Mutma'inna Radiya? But at the end any of the day, any we must also any understand that the path any to attaining this, again, it is the same thing. It begins any by having the profound understanding any in theology. And please any remember this, that a Muslim any we cannot go anywhere if he does not any have a profound any understanding in this knowledge. You will not go anywhere. It is like, again, you are building any a building that is weak any in its foundation. If anything comes, it will collapse. And this is what happened in our society. You find some people any performing any prayers. They go to the masjid. They go any to they have any interest any to seek knowledge and so on and so forth. But because any they do not give any priority to this knowledge, what happens any after some time any they left any seeking knowledge. They left any performing any of the prayers. Because why? Because the foundation any is weak. When the foundation any is weak, when a person is confronted any with an ideology that confuses him, then what happens? He will leave any of the branches. So this is important any for us again and again any to ponder. So going back any to the foundation, we have any to understand how are we able to build a solid foundation. If we were to say, for example, this knowledge any is important, that this knowledge any is the foundation any of Islam, that I have any to get any firmness any in this knowledge, especially in the times any that I am living, the next any question any will be asked, how am I able to attain this knowledge? What are the steps any for me to take in order for me to build any this strong any foundation? So in the Islamic any theology, when it comes any to the syllabus any of learning, our scholars any they came out any with a profound syllabus. Meaning, if a person any is a beginner to this knowledge, then there are certain books any that he has to study. And then after that, he built on the knowledge, one book any after the other. So we have any a series any of books, just like any in fiqh, any for example. Some of you study fiqh. Normally a student any of fiqh, when they want to study Islamic jurisprudence, they study, for example, the book of Risal al-Jami'ah. And then after Risal al-Jami'ah, we have Safinatun Najah. After Safinatun Najah, we have Muftasar al-Latif. Even though in Singapore, maybe this book any is not really known. But then we have Muqaddimah Hadramiyah. And then we have any Abu Shuja. We have any Zubat. All these any are books, meaning after any a person any completes anyone, he goes up into the next any ladder. And this is any important. This in Arabic, any we call it manhaj. In our Islamic any tradition, in seeking knowledge, there must be manhaj. So that is why when it comes into the pillars any of knowledge, there must be five things in order for us any to attain knowledge. In order for us any to ensure that the thing any that we attain any is al-ilm, knowledge. Number one, there must be a teacher. Number two, the pillar is a student. A student any who possess any zeal to seek knowledge. Number three is al-kitab, the book. That suits any the level. If you are a beginner, you cannot be learning an advanced book. Like for example, like you are in NUS, some of you learning mathematics, in NUS, this level in your mathematics is not the same as it is in secondary school. Any a person any who study for O levels is not the same as a person who take a major of mathematics any in NUS. Is it at the same level? Different levels, different books, different any syllabus. The student any who is sitting in for PSLE, the level any is different. The books any is different. So meaning there is any a syllabus. Our education any system is such any that when they want to introduce a particular knowledge any to students, they make sure that there is a firm any syllabus. A syllabus anywhere a student any can follow from the beginning till the end. And this is important in every schools, in every universities, in every colleges. When you major, for example, in chemistry, for example, there is a syllabus. If you enter into NUS, when you go into year one, it's not the same as year two. Year two any becomes more. Year one maybe is more of introduction. The lecturers any will give you an introduction to this knowledge, and then slowly any you get any about certain terminologies, any of the knowledge. When you go into year two, then there is problem solving, and they expect you any to think and to come out any projects and so on and so forth. This is the syllabus. So it begins any from the beginning, and it builds any that knowledge. So there must be a syllabus. Likewise, in Islamic any tradition, we also any have any such any syllabus. Not paying attention any to syllabus and seeking knowledge, what happens? It makes everything collapse. It makes everything collapse. For example, if a person wants to study fiqh, and he study the book of Al-Majmu' of Imam An-Nawawi, khalas, and if you say, he will collapse. And if he's a beginner, straight away you read the books of Imam Nawawi, Kitab Al-Majmu', and you are exposed to 8 madhab, all the differences. In the Majmu' Al-Imam An-Nawawi, when he speaks about intention and niyyah, intention in wudu, he bring any 8 madhab opinion. So if a person is a beginner, he just want to know how I need to take wudu, suddenly and you give him the book, okay, now and you have this 8 madhab, which one you want to choose? So he'll be confused. But if you have any a teacher that guides, that tells you, okay, forget about, do not read any majmu now. Inshallah, any after 10 years, any you can read. But now any read Risala al-Jami'ah, this for you. Okay, not? So the book any must be in accordance any to the level of the student. This is pillar number 3. Pillar number 4 is manhaj. There must be a syllabus. So if you complete any Risala al-Jami'ah, which book any should you go? Likewise in Aqidah, for example. In Aqidah, my opinion and my suggestion is to start from the book of Al-Mufidah. The book of Al-Mufidah, for example, by Al-Imam Sanusi. And then Al-Hafidah. And then Surah. And then Umul Barahin. Sharah Umul Barahin, like this. So this is part of the manhaj. Kharida Bahia that we use, for example, in Masjid Khalid, and it is the parable of these books, the parable of the first 3 books. So the reason why we chose Kharida Bahia in Masjid Khalid is because it is easy in the sense that it encompasses a lot of the things, because we are racing against time also in our weekend classes. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that books in Aqidah, we have a profound syllabus. And there are many books. I'm just giving examples. There are some of our teachers, for example, they prefer to start straight away Kharida. Some of our teachers, when they start teaching Aqidah, beginners, straight away they enter into a Kharida Bahiyah. For example, some countries in the Middle East, like in Jordan, for example, Sheikh Said Fuda, he used to say, for example, that he teaches any children in Kharida Bahiyah in the beginning. And that can be done in the Middle Eastern countries where they speak in Arabic. But in the Malay and Nusantara, we have to be a bit slow in the sense that because of the language and barrier and all these things. So that is why the Malays, they love Imam Sanusi. Al-Imam Sanusi, because his books was so simple and they were translated into the Malay language 500 years ago. The Islamization of the Nusantara, this part of the world, the books that were introduced in theology are the books of Al-Imam Sanusi. And the books of Al-Imam Sanusi reach the Malay and Nusantara. And I always say that one of the reasons why the Malays love Al-Imam Sanusi, because Al-Imam Sanusi, he was in Algeria. He was in Tilmisan. And then, during his time, there was a great fitna. So there was some confusion when it comes to this knowledge of Aqidah and so on. Some sects of the Shia were there, some Mujassima were present and so on and so forth. So he decided to write books for Lil Atfal. And he began by the children. So for example, he wrote a book, he named the book Al-Mufidah. This book, he dedicated to Lil Atfal Iwan Nisa. And he mentioned that this is for the children and for the woman. Then he goes on to write any Hafidah, and he make it in a way that it is a concrete syllabus. So these books, when it came to this side of the world, in the Malay archipelago, the Malays find it easy. Because that time I believe, Allahu Alam, maybe the Malays they thought they are new to Islam, and they find that these books are basic, easy, rather than the books of Taftazani, for example. Al-Imam Taftazani wrote books mashallah, and it's so difficult. But the books of Al-Imam Sanusi are the books that are translated. You find many translations in Jawi. You have, for example, books in Jawi that is 400 years, 300 years ago. You have books written by Sheikh Palimbangi, books that are written by Al-Fatani, and other Malay scholars. So last time, our ulama in this part of the world, they pay attention to manhaj. And today, and sadly, we almost any lost any our manhaj. I can say we almost any lost. Today, for example, I see there is a change. If I make any comparison, any to 10 years ago. 10 years ago, any situation, and it was very dire. I was very worried any 10 years ago. Then any we started any our classes in Masjid Khalid. We started any to speak any about the importance of learning Aqidah. To learn Kharidah Bahiyah. To learn, for example, even Aqidatul Awam. To learn Durusul Tauhid by Habib Muhammad bin Sheikh Abu Bakar bin Salim and all these things. Now any we see that there is any some any changes, but still it is not enough. We are still any in need any to revive any this knowledge because any of the great any importance and the importance any of reviving any the manhaj. This is another thing. So when we speak any about learning this knowledge, we always any have to pay attention to the syllabus. How any we acquire the knowledge? What are the books any that we should learn? How we can build any our foundation? Because at the end of the day, we want to build any our foundation. We want any to make any our foundation any firm. So we have any to put in our efforts any to study any this knowledge in a way that is in accordance any to the manhaj of Ahlus-Sunnah and Wal Jamaah. So the books of Al-Imam Sanusi, the books of Al-Imam, for example, Ahmad Dardir, the books any of Al-Imam Ghazali, the books of Al-Imam Fakhruddin Al-Razi, these are any the books any that we are looking any into. So this is any the manhaj. Number 5, any when comes into the pillars any of knowledge, there is any this thing our ulama any they mention, al-bi'a al-ilmiya. Al-bi'a al-ilmiya. It is any the environment. The environment any of seeking any knowledge. That is the thing any about the culture any of revision. That knowledge any requires muraja'ah. Murajah, because the thing any about knowledge, any when you study something, you forget. Correct, man. You are in NUS, for example. If you are in the fourth year, maybe whatever you studied in the first year, you forgot. You studied, so you are in need any to revise. We need any to have any this culture of revision. So that is why here comes any the importance any of exams, the importance any of tests and exam, because it will motivate us any to revise. So, because any we are in need, any to have any this knowledge any entrenched any in us. So, learning alone any is not enough. We also any have any to have this culture of any of revision. So, I mentioned any all this to motivate any all of you, and also any to bring forth any this importance of reviving any this knowledge any firstly in ourselves. How are we able any to get any the benefit any of this knowledge? Because we are facing any very challenging times, and that's what we mentioned, and we have any to put in any of these efforts. And this is the first thing any that we have to repair for ourselves. Just like any when you send any a car to the garage, to the mechanic. So the mechanic, any when he look at your car, he said that okay, there are a few parts any that are broken, a few parts any that are missing. The mechanic any will know which are the priority, which is any the thing any that is the most any crucial and to be fixed. So if you are Muslim and you do not have any part or any you do not have any share of this knowledge. Clear? Yani you do not have any share any of this knowledge, then you should be worried for yourself. Because when we speak any about the path any to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is any the first thing any that we have to make firm. So for example, let me give an example, Al-Imam Qushayri. Al-Imam Qushayri, any he wrote any a book, Al-Risala Qushayriya. This book is actually a book written in tasawuf, in spirituality, in tazkiyah. If you open any this book by Al-Imam Al-Qushayri, and Al-Imam Qushayri, he basically lived during the time of Imam Ghazali, it's about 1,000 years. This book, any Risala al-Qushayriya, it is said, and it is one of the most any important books in Tasawuf, one of the most any important books any in Islamic spirituality. And if you open any this book, Risala al-Qushayriya, in the Muqaddimah he criticizes the Sufis. In the Muqaddimah, if you don't believe me, you get the Muqaddimah Risala al-Qushayriya. I do not know whether it's translated to English. There is a very bad translation in Malay, which I don't recommend you, because recently we had a class in Masjid Khalid. There was a book somebody was showing me, but that translation then is very bad. So some of the shops in Geylang is selling it, but I don't recommend you to buy it. But I do not know if you can find any good translation. For the English language, wallahu alam, I think there is a translation in the English language. If you read any Risalah Al-Qushayriyah by Al-Imam Al-Qushayri, for your information, Al-Imam Al-Qushayri is a big Sufi. He speaks about Islamic and spirituality in Risalah Al-Qushayriyah. But in the Muqaddimah, he criticized the Sufis of his time. So this is ajib. And then he explained any the reason why. What's that? Sufi, the term any Sufi, it comes any from the word Safa. It comes any from the word Safa. In the Arabic language, and if we say something that is Safa, Yasfu, is something that is pure. So, there is any knowledge within our tradition, the knowledge any is called Tasawwuf. It comes any from the word Safa. Safa meaning purity. Because this knowledge any speaks any about the importance of purification of the heart. The knowledge of Tasawuf is about how are we able to purify our hearts. What are the fundamentals and what are the principles that we are able to benefit from that knowledge in Tazkiyah to Nafs. Yani, to purify our hearts from all diseases of the heart. For example, diseases of pride, diseases of ostentation, diseases of having thinking that you are better than everybody else, all this bad diseases of the heart. How are we able to remove them? So this knowledge of tasawuf, it is different than theology. Knowledge of theology, we speak about establishing the tenets of faith. But the knowledge of spirituality, knowledge of tasawuf, it speaks about purification of the heart. So the person who busies himself with this knowledge and with actions that purifies his heart, this person is known to be a Sufi. Clear, inshallah? So what is a Sufi? A Sufi is a person who gives any preference and is known as a person who is inclined towards the purification of his heart. So they are named as the Sufis. So this is the meaning, basically the meaning of a Sufi. So knowledge of tasawuf is a knowledge that teaches us how to purify ourselves. The person who is busy in this knowledge are those whom we call as a Sufis. So Al-Imam Al-Qushayri, when he wrote Risalah Al-Qushayriyah, he speaks about tasawuf. He wants to tell us the importance of tazkiyah to nafs. Because he said that this knowledge almost died during his time. Because of the love of dunya and all these things that's happening and the political turmoil that's happening during his time, that people forget about the important aspects of spirituality. So he decided to write Risalah Al-Qushayriyah. But in the Muqaddimah, he criticized the Sufis of his time. Because the Sufis of his time, they have deviated from the actual path. They have a misunderstanding about tasawuf, and then they do not study the knowledge of Aqidah. So what happens? They fell into innovations. So he was criticizing the Sufis of his time. And then in the beginning of the book, after the Muqaddimah, if you open the Risalah Al-Qushayriyah, you will find he speaks about Aqidah before anything else. And he will mention the reason why. He said that nobody can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or attain taqwa and tazkiyah to nafs to the way that was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except that he dwell into this knowledge. That is the knowledge of aqidah. He brings, for example, the examples of the great Sufis during the time of the Salaf. He spoke about Al-Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi. He spoke about Al-Imam Ma'ruf al-Karhi. He spoke about, I think most of his names you have not heard, right? But these are the great teachers of Islamic spirituality to the Ummah. Today, if you read any books of Tasawuf, you read books of Al-Imam Ghazali, you read Ihya Ulumuddin, you read the books of Al-Imam Nawawi, you will find they mention these names. Names of Ma'ruf al-Karhi, names of Al-Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi. Al-Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi is known as the one who established this knowledge. Just like Al-Imam Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari, he was the one who established his knowledge of Aqidah. The one who established Tasawuf is Al-Imam al-Junayn. Al-Imam al-Junayn al-Baghdadi. He gave the examples of these imams in the beginning of the chapters. So he made it as an example. How these imams, they are known for their spirituality, they are known for their Tasawuf, but when comes any to their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what any they say about this knowledge any of aqidah, then you will be amazed because they give any this the importance any of this knowledge like no other knowledge. And basically, they are saying any that before a person moves any to the next stage, he must be firm in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these things any will it inform us the importance any for us to put in efforts any to study in our path to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because any at the end any of the day, as what we mentioned in the last lecture, that the purpose any of life is to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to attain the pleasure of Allah. The purpose any of our life is to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose any of our life is to make ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we able any to make ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the manhaj. This is the way. This is the syllabus. So we start off any firming our foundation. In order for us any to do that, we have to pay attention to the books. Correct? Because any when it comes any to the pillars any of knowledge, books any is one of it, syllabus. We have to pay attention any to the books any that we study. We have to pay attention any to the syllabus that we are abiding with. We have to pay attention any to the people any who are teaching us. Correct or not? So at the end any of the day, so that we get benefit any from this knowledge. And this is any the first thing any that we have to make sure that we have equipped any ourselves any with. So I hope this lecture any becomes motivation. It becomes any like a kickstarter or a fire starter. That inshallah ta'ala we are able any to understand any this concept about any the importance, not only about the definition of this knowledge, not only about the importance any of seeking this knowledge, and also how to go about any to attaining any this knowledge, and then the other any knowledges any that comes any after it, the knowledge any of jurisprudence, the knowledge any of spirituality. So at the end of the day, there must be a balance. There must be a balance, giving precedence any to this knowledge above any all other knowledges. And this is how any we are able any to take this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the path any to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya jama'ah, it is with knowledge, al-ilm. Without any knowledge, any a person will not any reach any Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless any Allah any guide him totally, in a sense any that from the favors of Allah that is also possible. But the advice any of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. That seeking any knowledge any is compulsory upon every Muslim. And the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by seeking knowledge. So today I spoke about the definition any of this knowledge. I spoke about the importance any of attaining any of this knowledge. And I spoke about the manhaj, the syllabus. And then we go back now any to the challenges any of our time. I mentioned just now that we are living any at a time where the challenges any that we are facing as a Muslim is far much greater than those who came before us. And I believe any all of us any agree to that. I gave any examples any just now because of the existence of social media, because the existence of the internet and everything that we hear and see, everything any is like in front of us. A person any can be influenced any by many ideas and thoughts just by sitting in his room. No need for him to go out. Last time any when I was in the 80s, when I was a small boy in the 80s, in order for us any to be influenced, we have to go out of our house. We are influenced any by those people any under our void deck. But today, when comes any to influencers, you don't need any to go to the void deck. Because just any by having any computer in front of you, there are a lot of things any that people any can get any influence. So when we are facing any these times, this is any the challenge to firm up any our faith. This is any the time to build any our iman, because the trials any of akhiru zaman, the things any that is unfolding, the prophecies that is unfolding before our very eyes, what is happening any to Turkey and Syria, the earthquake that was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all these things any are prophecies that speaks any about the coming any of the Mahdi, the coming of Nabi Isa alaihi salam, the sea any of Galilee drying up, the sea any of the Euphrates. You see, for example, all these things are happening. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the river Euphrates and it will dry up, and there will be a mountain of gold and it will come out. Today, just 3 days ago, Al Arabiya, and I believe, and they came out with a documentary on the Euphrates because it's drying up, and people and play soccer now, on the seabed of the river. So what I'm trying to say is that not only we are faced any by ideologies, we are faced any by the situations any that we are in, but we must also any understand that we are at a time where many any of these prophecies are unfolding. And this is any another knowledge that is linked to the knowledge of Aqidah. So if you go back any to the hadith of Jibril alayhi salam, just now any I mentioned he asked three questions. There is any a fourth question. Number one, and he asked about Iman. Number two, he asked any about Islam. Number three, he asked about Ihsan. And then number four, and he asked any about something that is related any to the end of times. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he mentioned antalid al amatu rabbataha, that if you see a slave woman and giving birth any to the slave master, and this has already happened any in the 70s. Likewise, you see any Arabs yatatawaluna fil bunyan. Arabs any fighting, challenging any one another any to build any tall buildings. This is any happening until today, correct or not? The tallest any building any in the world, and it's not in New York, it's not in the West, but it is in the Arab any countries. So when we are facing any these prophecies, this is another part any of Islamic any theology, where our scholars any speaks any about the knowledge any of tahawulat. It is also any important any for us any to understand the time any that we are in. All these things and it goes back and it to tell us the importance any of having faith, because the trials any that is happening and the trials any that is coming, the challenges any that is coming is going to be worse than what any we are in today. So as a Muslim, it is important for us to build our iman based on sound theology. And this is very, very important. Because for us any to save any ourselves any from this tsunami any of ideology, from the tsunami of trials any that is coming, we need any to have any firmness any of faith any in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we also any have to work on other knowledges, like the knowledge any of fiqh, so that we understand how are we able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by this we are able any to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the safety that comes any from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, any for example, the challenges also any that we are facing, we find any for example, there are people any out there who does not any believe any in the existence any of God. We go out any from our house and we find any people who speaks any about that it is okay any for a man to marry any a man. It is okay any for a woman any to marry any a woman. Today any we are exposed any to ideologies where people any are saying that God any is a body, that he sits any on the arash, that he is any in a place. Today any we are confronted any also by an ideology of takfir within any the Muslims, where a person any says that if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not enough until any you believe any in the brand any of Islam any that we adhere to. Recently, any we have any the boy any who wanted any to blow up any this Maqam Habib Noor. This is an issue of theology. Why any will he want any of all any of the things any he target any this this grave of Habib Noor? He wanted any to kill any Sufi Muslims and Shia Muslims any, for example. This is something any that is related any to theology. We ask any the question, why? Why any Maqam Habib Noor? Why any Sufi Muslim? Why any Shia Muslim? Yani because he feels that they are non-Muslims. They have gone out any of Islam. Why? Then we will find out that he has any some any certain any misunderstandings. He believe any in the concept any of the three any tawheed, that a Muslims who believes any in the tawheed and the rububiyyah cannot be considered to be as Muslims until he believe in the tawheed of uluhiyyah. And saying any that the mushrikeen any during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam any believe in the tawheed of rububiyyah, but does not believe in the tawhid uluhiyah. So as a result, any he does any takfir to people any who that is not any within any the same any understanding and his understanding. And this is happening in Singapore, ya jama'ah. So today, any if you are influenced any by such ideology, you are miskin. Because any you are thinking that all these any Muslims are kuffar. So he goes any to the extent that he wants any to kill them, because being any an apostate any there, the blood in his halal, what ISIS any is saying today. Correct or not? So all these things any are some any of the issues any of misunderstanding any in this knowledge can lead any to serious any consequences. So I can give any many examples. examples any within any our Islamic any tradition, examples any outside our Islamic any tradition that has any connection any with, that has connection any with this knowledge. It's just that any, I think any the time any is, it's not enough. How many more minutes? Two more minutes. Okay, two more minutes. What do you think? So let me give any more any examples. Today, any for example, you have any people who call any themselves any Muslims, but in reality they do not believe in Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. We have also any such any people who does not any believe any in Islam, and there are people any out there, for example, any believes that Islam, the religion any of Islam, is backward. Correct or not? They have any this thinking any that we are living in modern times, that we are living any in the time of technology. So all these any teachings any of Islam any is backward. So they come forth any with many any of their own any theories and say any that the Quran any must reinterpreted, the Hadith any of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be reinterpreted because any it doesn't suit any the time any that we are living any today. This is any also any part any of theology that we have any to understand. How are we able and to protect ourselves any from such any dangerous ideologies? There are people any who does not any believe in any of the religion. There are people any who are atheists. There are people who are agnostic. They say that I believe any in God, but I do not know any who God is. So we have any so many ideas and so many ideologies any out there. So at the end any of the day, what is important any for us any Muslims? Point number one is to learn our theology, our aqidah firmly. This is the first thing. Number two, we have any to learn the evidences. Remember this. Today we are in need any to learn dalil. Because it is not any enough any to learn Allah exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. But it is also any important any for us Muslims any to understand the evidences. Because, for example, any you say Allah exists, suddenly your friend says that prove to me. Correct or not? And your friend, any for example, any wants any to confuse you, asking you certain any questions any that you cannot, any answer. So today it is not any enough any to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, but also any we have to convince any ourselves any what are the evidences, what are the rational evidences, what are the arguments when it comes any to this belief. Likewise, the textual any evidences, all these things any we are in need any to keep any ourselves. If you think any these things any are a lot, but in reality to protect any your iman, you got no choice. And you have any to equip any yourselves. This knowledge and is far much important than what you're studying in NUS. With all the respect any that the knowledge that you are learning, knowledge any of science any is important. Knowledge any of medicine any is important. It's fardhu kifayah, as what I mentioned in the last any lecture. But the most any important knowledge, jamaah, the most any important knowledge is this knowledge. So it is important for you any to have your share of this, your share any of this knowledge. So thank you any very very much any for your attentiveness. I thank you any for your time, and I hope any that this is any of benefit. I try any my best any to summarize many of the pointers. I hope it is motivating any for all of you, easy any to understand, inshallah, no confusion. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us and give guidance, inshallah.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mr. Zaman, for the insightful sharing. You know, we want to question and answers for you guys are question process. The Slido number is 7421515. So you put Slido up and key the number. 7421515. Okay, one question. I will open the questions to the floor as well if anyone has any questions to ask us today.
Can we go with some? Okay, I saw this one question coming. The question is asking, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, how do we remain firm on our deen? What can we do to ensure our faith and does not waver?
Again, that's what I mentioned. Number one, and it is to seek knowledge. Number one is to seek any knowledge. And number two is to practice that knowledge. That knowledge has to be profound. And it is important for us to pay attention to syllabus, manhaj, that's what I mentioned, the books that we study. So do not any study knowledge here and there. This is the thing also I see like some youth and they are grappling and with this. They watch any too many YouTube videos. I'm not saying that YouTube is bad. There are a lot of education videos and no doubt. But at the same time also you need to understand if you do that, for example, if you do not have a proper syllabus and you find any yourself and hearing this here, this, you might get confused at the end of the day. And this is usually what happened. Because you do not know who are the people any out there and uploading all these videos and so on, what is their ideas behind and so on and so forth. And do not any go to too many lectures. Not a full stop. Do not go to too many lectures. But you do not any seek any the proper knowledge. For example, some people they say, I want to go to this talk, I want to go to this talk. But when you ask them, any, for example, how do you seek knowledge? Say, no, I don't seek knowledge, I just go to talks. No, this is not how any, this is not how, we should be in the situation in that we are in. We need any to be focused. If you speak any about learning Islam, you have to follow the methodology. What is your methodology? What is the methodology? What are the books that you study? For example, just now we spoke about the importance of learning Aqidah. Ask yourself, what is the book of Aqidah that you have studied? If I were to do a survey, for example, how many, about 80 of you here, right? If I were to ask this question, what books any have you studied? I do not know any how many, answers any that I can get. If you can't find any answer, if a person asks you, what books in Aqidah you study? I say, I never study any books in Aqidah. It's a big problem. That shows that you have not any built any foundation. But you can tell me, but I watch many YouTube videos. No, YouTube videos, it doesn't build a foundation. YouTube videos give you motivation. Like this talk is motivational talk. This talk is not really about discussing any about theological any issues. Correct or not? I'm just giving you an overview. It is meant any to give you motivated so that when you go back, you reflect upon yourself. Then you say that, okay, now I want to seek knowledge. So this is any the type any of talk. So if you cannot find any that kind of answer, that means you have to start now. And you are young. This is any the right time any for you any to start. Don't think any that, you will start maybe at when you are age 50 or after you pension and all these things. No, it's not the same anymore. Seeking knowledge, Al-Imam Shafi'i speaks any about the importance any of young age. You know what Imam Shafi'i said? He said, Hayatul fata wallahi bil ilmi wa tuqa. Faman fatahu ta'limu waqta shababihi fakabbir alayhi arba'an li wafati. Yani he said that the life any of a teenager, al-fata, al-ilmu wa taqwa, it is knowledge and God consciousness. He said that those any who does not seek knowledge when they are young, fakabbir alayhi arba'an li wafati, do takbir four times any for his death. Meaning, you know death, what death is talking about? Meaning when a person reaches old age and he failed to seek knowledge when he is young, he has wasted any his time, as though any is a dead person, khalas. He has wasted any his time. So certainly we do not want to be like this. And your youth is a bounty from Allah. Remember this. Your age, I believe all of you are in the early 20s, right? Early any 20s is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that every minute, every day, you are getting older and older and older. I was already like you already last time. I was also already 23, 22. Now I'm 40 already, old man already. Correct, no? But what I'm trying to say is that time and it moves any very fast. You have to take the opportunity. If you don't take the opportunity, and it will go off. So seek knowledge. This is my advice. Seek knowledge. Pay attention any to knowledge. Spirituality can come later, inshallah. Now any is the time any to make firm any your aqidah. Your aqidah any is firm, inshallah, spirituality will come. When you do amal, when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the do's and in those, in the commandments, then inshallah, any Allah will bless you and with light. This is what Al-Imam Sheikh Ibn Ghaslan in Zubat and he mentioned. He speaks any about this methodology and seeking knowledge. So I hope that is easy for all of you, inshallah. What books in English do you recommend for us university students who might be beginner, medium level? In beginning is Al-Mufida. I just translated Mufida to English. So inshallah, if you want, I can do a class for you, inshallah. I did a class in revamp, three days. is about 1 hour, 3 hours. No, very easy, 3 hours, 3.5 hours of your life. Correct or not? you can complete any one book, Al Mufida by Al-Imam Sanusi. Al-Imam Sanusi, and he wrote any Al Mufida. This book was in the manuscript. You know, my teacher, Sheikh Khalid Zahri, and he from Morocco. I visited him in Morocco. He was the librarian and of the Hassaniya library. You know, in Morocco there is this library which they keep any manuscripts which date back into many hundred years. And Al-Imam Sanusi, and he was there at that part any of the world, so many of his works and he were preserved there. But strangely, the book any Al-Mufida is still in manuscript. So what any Sheikh Zahri any did was he typed it any into Romanized, into the Arabic. Because the manuscript any is the Maghribi writing, quite difficult any to read. So what he did was he make it into a book. He typed it out. And I took any his permission any from him any to translate to English. Alhamdulillah, any I managed to translate any 2 months ago. And then we did a Daura any in revamp for 3 hours. But there is something wrong with the recording. I wanted them to upload, but something of the recording. So inshallah, we want to do it again, inshallah. So this is the first book, Mufida. Number 2 is Hafida. Number 3 is Surah. Number 4, Umul Barahin. So these are the 4 books, and I recommend you study. On top of that, there is also Farida Bahiyah. What's that? Wardan. Inshallah, I try to publish, inshallah. Because it has not been published yet. Because it's still in PDF. If you want, I can give you the PDF, inshallah. The book Sheikh Hamza Yusuf translated. What is Aqidah Tahawiya? Have you read Aqidah Tahawiya? I recommend you buy Aqidah Tahawiya. Very goodly translated and by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf by Zaytuna College. I believe all the books and he's selling. You can buy even Amazon on that book. We did that book any 6 years ago in Masjid Abdul Razak. There's also some of my recordings. On that. But usually our scholars do not begin with Aqidah Tahawiyya, because Aqidah Tahawiyya is not really any for beginners. What is best and is that you start with the books of Imam Sanusi first, then and you enter into Aqidah Tahawiyya. Would you say that Iman is strongly linked to Aqidah? If one Iman is weak, would you recommend them to start with Aqidah? Okay, now let me explain any the difference any between Iman and Aqidah. Aqidah is a field of knowledge. Iman any is faith. What is any the difference? There is a difference any between the knowledge that teaches you about Iman and Iman itself. There's two different things. Knowledge any of Aqidah teaches you about what are the things that is obligated for you to believe in. To believe in Allah, to believe in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the attributes of the prophets and messengers, to believe in the unseen and all these things. But when it comes to Iman is something that increase and decrease. When you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your faith increases. When you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your faith decreases. So Iman is faith. Clear inshallah? Whereas Aqidah is a field of knowledge. And it doesn't mean that if you study any Aqidah, necessarily that your Iman increase. But usually that is the case. Because Aqidah protects any your faith. It protects any your faith. But there are people who study Aqidah, but their Iman is weak, possible. Because they don't make any effort. There are people who have knowledge, but no prayers, no fasting, commit ma'asiyah and all these things. Their Iman is weak, but they can be ulama. They can be knowledgeable people. Possible, correct? Not? Al-Imam Razali, for example, in Ihya, he speaks about ulama usu. People who possess knowledge, high any knowledge, but no amal. Also any that is any possible. How do we find any a teacher? How do we find any teacher? Wallahu a'lam. What you call it, a teacher? What is important any is that he is able any to teach any the knowledge. It's just like any, for example, if I ask you if you want to learn maths, how do you find a maths any teacher? Yani you need to ask around, correct? Not? Like there are people any who are qualified to teach any a particular subject. So you have any to learn any from people who are qualified. This is any the thing. So if there is any a person any who is qualified any to teach, then you learn any from, then any you learn any from him. Would you say that Iman is strongly linked? Why has Aqidah become a controversial topic when that even among Muslim communities? it is not taught. Some people see it as divisive. Pertaining any to this question, you see there is a lot of confusion pertaining to this. Because any of the confusion, this leads any to the question any that you're asking. Because when people any are confused, there are many things any said any about this particular knowledge from people who are not any qualified any to speak any on this knowledge. As a result, it creates any more confusion any to the communities. So our scholars any always say that when you have any a person who doesn't know what he's speaking about and he's speaking any about a particular knowledge, what happens? He will not any give benefit, but he becomes the reason for confusion. So when we understand the definition of aqidah, that's what we mentioned. That is why understanding definition is key. When we say that the knowledge any of aqidah is a knowledge that speaks any about the tenets any of faith, and as a Muslim, it is compulsory upon every Muslim to study the tenets any of faith and to protect any his iman, and to repel any ideologies that are contrary any to the tenets any of faith, this any particular knowledge any is of great any importance any significance any as the foundation of deen. How can this knowledge any be divisive? If we say that this knowledge is wajib and it is very, very crucial that you have any to possess it in order for you, not only for your hereafter, but to protect any yourself, how can this knowledge any become any divisive? This knowledge is wajib, not divisive. The reason why some people thought it is divisive because any they have a misunderstanding. They have any a misunderstanding about the knowledge of aqidah that is not the knowledge any of aqidah. So they have any this misunderstanding because they do not know the difference any between the definition of the knowledge any of aqidah and the other knowledges. Does questioning about our religion can affect our aqidah? No. Questioning about religion does not affect your aqidah, because in the process of learning, you can ask. Actually, it is better for you to ask, because if you don't ask, the doubts is still in you. You see, there are people who are shy to ask. As a result, what happens? And the ignorance is still inside. So our scholars and he mentioned there are two types of people who will not attain knowledge. Number one is a person who is shy. Number two is a person who is arrogant. A person who is shy, everything shy. He doesn't know anyhow, he doesn't know anything, but shy any to ask. So even any after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, the ignorance any will still be there. Because why? Because any of shyness. Number two, any if a person is arrogant. Sometimes any a person, for example, he doesn't want to ask because he's arrogant. So this also will not get knowledge. What books? Can someone any with the wrong any theology be a Sufi? Yes. Because you see, Sufi any is a person any who gives any importance any to tazkiyah, yani purification any of the heart. So a person any can be a Sufi, meaning he can speak to you about the importance of purifying any of the heart and all these things, but he might have a misunderstanding in theology. Might have misunderstanding in theology. For example, you have people any who speaks any about the importance any of purification any of the heart, but they believe any that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inside any the body any of someone. For example, this any brings any a person to kufr, but he might be saying that he is a Sufi in a way that he is trying any his best any to purify in himself. So there is, as what I mentioned, there is a difference any between theology and spirituality. A person any can work any for spirituality without theology. Now even non-Muslims say they are Sufi, correct? Non-Muslims also say they are Sufi. You have any, for example, Americans any who went to Turkey. They like this. What is the dance? They like any whirling dervish. They find peace in doing that. Correct, no? But they are non-Muslims, so they classify themselves any as Sufis also. So Sufis any has got nothing any to do with theology in a sense, because it is a field anywhere it speaks any about purification any of the self. Even any Buddhists any nowadays also some of the Buddhists also any they claim any to be Sufis. Which one is it? The bid'ah, is it? Yeah. Is it this one? Yeah, the question asked, you mentioned about bid'ah. How do we know if the bid'ah is bid'ah hasanah or otherwise? Al-Imam Shafi gave a good definition of bid'ah. He said bid'ah is of two types. We have bid'ah hasanah and sayyi'ah. There is a good innovation and there is a bad innovation. A bad innovation, and he says that anything yukhaliful kitab wa sunnah wal ijma'. anything that go against the Quran, the Sunnah, and the consensus of ulama. This is bid'ah sayyi'ah. But there are certain any innovation that is regarded any as a good any innovation. For example, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, the first any caliph, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he decided to compile the Quran. This is bid'ah. But our scholars any mentioned this is bid'ah wajib. Bid'ah also any wajib. Meaning, if he has not compiled the Quran it might be lost. Because during the time any of the caliph Abu Bakr, there a lot any of the companions who memorized the Quran and were killed in the battles. So he got any the idea to compile any the Quran, because during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran is not compiled. So if a person says bid'ah is anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, no, this is bid'ah in the linguistic meaning. We have to differentiate between the innovation in the linguistic meaning and the meaning any in the Islamic terminology. Because in linguistically, when you say bid'ah, it's something that is new. Something that is new, that is not preceded. But in Islam, we say bid'ah, this is a definition of Imam Shafi. It doesn't mean that the Prophet ﷺ did not do a particular thing. It's bid'ah sayyi'ah. There are a lot of things that the Prophet ﷺ did not do, the Sahaba did. There are a lot of things that the Prophet ﷺ did not do, the Tabi'in did. There are a lot of things the Prophet ﷺ did not do, the Ulama did. So you see, some people, they create any this thing where they say that the Prophet ﷺ did not do a particular thing, then it's haram any to do. This is dangerous. Because the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, this is not how they understood. This is not how they understood. Because there are many things that they did. For example, Qiyamul Layl. Ramadan is coming. Qiyamul Layl in Jama'ah is bid'ah. The Prophet ﷺ never did any Qiyamul Layl in Jama'ah. Never did Qiyamul Layl in Jama'ah. But today the whole world is doing. Even Makkah Madinah also doing. Correct? Even in front of the Kaaba. And what do you call it in there? So this is a contradiction. How can we say something that the Prophet ﷺ did not do is bid'ah hasanah, but the same people that he was saying it, they are doing it also the same thing. So when there is a contradiction, there has to be an explanation. So Al-Imam Shafi, our Imam, alhamdulillah, in the past, Al-Imam Nawawi also explained in his books. Wallahu a'lam bissawab. Yeah?
Thank you so much, sir. The profound knowledge and voicing our questions very well. Thank you, sir.